You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hollywood hoop dreams aren't only made from magic. They also come in the form of original podcasts from the Hoop Ball Network.
So if you're the Lakers zooming out, are you tempted to bring back DeMarcus Cousins in the playoffs? And do you disrupt the dynamic at that point if he's healthy enough to play?
Join Ethan, JC, and the thriving Lakers community around the world to talk about all things Lakers.
The Lakers this season has come to expect of this team is consistent winning. That is something we have not been able to say since I've seen Andrew Bynum in a Lakers uniform.
The show is available everywhere pods are found, and you can follow the show on Twitter at HoopBallLakers.
The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Good evening, guys, and welcome. It is I, Lyle Swithenbank, back with another installment of the Pelican Scoop. At Hoop Ball Pels on Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, for all of those playing along at home on Twitter. Make sure you give us a follow, give us a like. I'm joined by a very, very special guest again today, and I've been very lucky to have a chat to a few guys throughout the last few weeks. And it is Shamit Dua from the Bourbon Street Shots and the In The Know podcast. Shamit, how are you going?
Oh, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. It's the first Australian-based podcast I've done, so I'm very excited for this.
Oh, it's great. And when you can get guys that are actually in New Orleans that can shed an insight from, I suppose, the actual ground zero in amongst the team, you know, we're always happy to try to get people on with that sort of knowledge and experience. And yeah, and I really appreciate you coming on and spending your time to chat pals with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this year it was a bit of an up and down year, a pretty tumultuous off season to say the least. There was a fair bit going on. We ended up, well, we got Zion, I suppose, was the big acquisition and the one that that everyone sort of remembers. But there was a few others. You know, we changed. Dell Demps left, and David Griffin came in. AD was shipped out, and we brought all of the Lakers. Well, a lot of them down to New Orleans. What are your thoughts on that off season?
Yeah, it was quite an eventful off season. Just the period of events that happened after the end of January to where Anthony Davis requested his trade, working up to the trade deadline itself in February, and then after Demps was fired, going on to hiring David Griffin. And so on and so forth to where the Anthony Davis trade was finally completed. It seemed like major event after major event was happening. And it was just kind of this moment where every Pelican fan was watching, because very clearly the future of the franchise depended on the moves that they were going to be making. If they had a, you know, it's not so often that you get a chance to trade a franchise level player, so nailing the return was quite important. Not only that, it's quite important to nail the next hiring, because they spent 9 years with Dell Demps. Obviously you don't want a repeat of a situation where you didn't see much success, so whoever you hire next is going to drive the culture, and in fact going to be in the driver's seat for this Anthony Davis trade that's going to dictate your future. So they had to be very careful about the steps they were taking. And it seemed like for a period of 4 months there. So like they just nailed every single possible move that came across their table, from David Griffin's hiring to lucking into the number one pick to the Anthony Davis trade, extracting maximum value out of it, despite people saying that, oh, well, you know, the same offer is not going to be there come the summer. Well, I'd argue it's an even better offer than what was offered in February. And then just shoring up the staff with hiring Trajan Langdon and Swin Cash and bringing in all kinds of important people. Aaron Nelson, the trainer, the head trainer for the Pelicans, they have completely revamped their medical team as well. So there was just a series of 4 months there where they made a ton of huge moves. And I feel like I don't want to say like everyone was a home run, or I guess in cricket terms, a sixer. But it was close. I think every move was just top tier, pretty much.
Yeah, I like the cricket analogy in there as well. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm Indian. I lived in Australia for about 4 years when I was young. I'm not bad at cricket myself. I fancy myself a pretty good bowler. I can play.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, no, I consider myself a bit of a no-rounder. I can't really bat, bowl, or field. Pretty terrible. I had all the gear, but just none of the skill or talent. My dad was pretty keen to get me into it, but just wasn't very good. The hand-eye coordination was not there. I was more into the Aussie rules and continue to play that a bit, just casually.
There you go. But,
yeah, a bit of fun. Yeah, so like you said, huge, huge off-season, I guess, and it almost was this like expedited rebuild without actually having any real issues, I suppose, off the court. We're sort of in the same spot that we were, I suppose, this time last year, even with Anthony Davis.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it's good that you mentioned like all of this kind of happened without any real issues, so to speak, because they really didn't face any adversity. The first bit of adversity they actually faced was in at the end of like preseason, and Zion gets hurt. That's the first hiccup throughout this entire course of events that they experienced. And from then on, it kind of did spiral downwards. Like that event happened. People were uncertain about his future. Turns out he needed surgery and he was out for an indefinite amount of time. And, you know, it was unclear what that amount of time was. And everyone had their projections, and the projections keep getting pushed back and back and back. And he didn't play his first game until well after the new year. And obviously Zion has been amazing, and they took all the right steps to get him not only back up to speed, to the shape that he was in prior to the surgery, but also to correct a lot of biomechanical issues that he may have had. They really took their time to make sure his body's moving as efficiently as possible, so future injury is minimized, or the risk of the future injury is minimized. So it was the right move, but at the same time, you know, you're building, like he's the franchise piece, right? And in preseason, even though he wasn't directly the offense, he was scoring like 26 points a game on like 80% shooting from the field. He everything went through him, even though like there weren't really set plays for him. He was just there. It was like all Zion. That's all everyone wanted to do. And it was clear that he was priming for a really big regular season. And when you take that big of a piece away from the team, and like, no disrespect to Kenrich Williams, he's one of my favorite players, especially as a person, but that's not Zion Williamson. And all of a sudden your offense looks a little bit different. The responsibility on Drew Holiday and Brandon Ingram increases, the responsibility on Lonzo Ball increases, and his game suffers because he doesn't have a guy like Zion to outlet to. And then, you know, that was the first hiccup. And the next hiccup came with the intermittent injuries to Derek Favors, who's been out of the lineup for quite some time. And the Pelicans didn't really have any good options at the center position. They had young Jackson Hayes, who has made electrifying dunks and amazing highlights, but he still has a long way to go in terms of learning how to play the game. And they had Jahlil Okafor, who had his nights as well. He had a couple great games. I think he was one of the driving factors against the Pelicans' like first win, and I believe it was against Denver, where he just absolutely toasted Nikola Jokic. And you're like, wow, I mean, this guy just went up against a first-team All-NBA center and completely owned him. But, you know, that's not consistent to see that you're going to get out of either of those players. And especially on the defensive side, where neither of them are at the level of Derek Favors, and the Pelicans suffered immensely. And it just seemed like the players were struggling to find their role and their place in the absence of Zion.
Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I think that was one of the most underrated things as well, is that when D-Faves went down, there sort of was this, I suppose, space left in the center. And throughout my previous podcast, I went right back to game one, started watching them again. In those earlier games where Favors was holding down the middle, you see his importance on both the defense and the offensive side of things. There was plays where they just fed him the ball and just let him go to work. So when that guy is not there, all of a sudden you're scrambling. Same as Zion, you've got Kendrick Williams. These guys are still NBA quality talents for the backups, Jahlil Okafor and Jackson Hayes. But like you said, there's a sort of different tier between the starters and those guys coming off the bench. But again, no disrespect to them, but Kendrick Williams, Kenny Hustle's just awesome. he's a great player. And he does all the sort of things that you want from someone that is coming in off the bench, who can just play hard and do those things that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet. So with these guys coming in, we had JJ Redick, Derek Favors. These guys are veterans, been around the league for a long time. Did they sort of work their way into the locker room straight away? Do you know what I mean? Like, was there this assimilation fairly quickly, or do you think with all the new changes in the off season there was a bit of teething problems early on?
So I do believe that there were I don't want to call them issues or problems, maybe like they were working through things initially, but I think it was mostly on the court rather than off the court. I think off the court from day one, these guys were pretty friendly and getting to know each other, although they're not like the most confrontational or vocal group, and they're not the type to really challenge or push each other. At least they weren't in the get-go. It took some time. I think it was in the middle of the 13-game losing streak where JJ Redick was the one that actually kind of called the team together and gave them a little spiel about, you know, accountability and all of that. And that from then on, I think they felt more comfortable voicing those kind of opinions. Cause you know, like sometimes in the initial stage of a relationship or a partnership or anything, you know, it's kind of like the honeymoon phase where you're not afraid. You're like, you don't really want to step on their toes, so to speak. But things are going well, so you're not complaining. I think that's kind of what it was with the Pelicans. Like, they all liked each other. It's all good group of guys, but no one wanted to step on anyone's toes. And I think over time they grew more comfortable with each other off the court, to be a little bit honest about those type of things. I think on the court, definitely, like, there was a question of, okay, well, I'm JJ Redick. This is how I play. I like to be utilized in this way. And then, like, Brandon Ingram was in the midst of making a leap, so okay, you have to accommodate for him. Lonzo Ball was struggling from the get-go, and so Drew and Brandon Ingram were taking on more of those like playmaking and driving duties, while, you know, he kind of was getting his stuff together. So it was a weird balance where they were trying to constantly figure things out, and as soon as they were establish any kind of rhythm, someone else would get hurt and someone else would come in and they'd have to start all over again.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, you mentioned Brandon Ingram there. That was actually who I was going to jump onto next. He took a big leap. You know, we saw him at LA and he looked a bit hesitant at times. He didn't look very strong. He's very, very slim build. This year, he looked confident, and perhaps that's a change of circumstances, you know, and another year in the league. He really exploded and took over that sort of lead scoring role. For a lot of the season, until probably Zion came back, he dropped off a little bit. But isn't that great to see that if we've uncovered another probably star in the, well, hopefully star in the making. You know, he's an all-star. So what a great result getting him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the reviews on Brandon Ingram at the time of trade were mixed. Obviously, yeah, people from LA and Lakers fans were considerably higher on him than I think most of the general NBA populace. He was the number two overall pick, and he had a pretty good stretch to close the year before he got hurt last year. There was a period of 10, 15 games or so where his averages weren't too dissimilar to what he's putting up this year. And so he had flashes, he had moments, but it was this question of, okay, well, this guy, for his whole career, even dating back to college, has been a 68% free throw shooter. He's allergic to taking shots from three. He's not very good at them when he takes them. So, yeah, like, you know, maybe this guy is decent from the mid-range and, you know, has these moves and kind of be like this isolation scorer. Do we want a DeMar DeRozan 2.2 type of player? But, you know, Ingram came from an offseason where he could barely even practice shooting the ball and made a shooting jump that is completely unprecedented. I mean, going from 68% or 67% as a career free throw shooter to shooting about 85, 86% this year, that kind of jump has only been made in like once in the last 25 years. I believe that was Chris Webber. And that's how much of an outlier that improvement is. And, you know, credits to Ingram, who like works his tail off every single practice. And even after practices, Griffin mentioned a couple times, Ingram and Lonzo like to come in after hours to get some shots up and work on their shooting. And so, you know, these guys have been working their tail off, and they've been really receptive to the teaching the Pelicans coaching staff has given them. So it makes me question, like, what was going on with LA and their developmental staff. Like, maybe they were just focusing on the wrong things, because, you know, if it just takes a few months to make these dramatic improvements to both Ingram and Ball, then, you know, like, what's going on in LA?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those questions have to be raised, and all of a sudden we're, I think, sitting pretty with these guys. You know, these are cornerstone players almost, that they're showing flashes of it. Lonzo came into the season, I suppose he was a bit up and down, and, you know, he rebuilt his jump shot from all reports in the off season. He started slow. It just didn't look like he had his legs under him a bit. That, after, I suppose, December, I think it was, he just turned into an absolute stud. And even having a look pure at stats, it's just chalk and cheese. He looked like an absolute gun, and hopefully that development continues. They talked about the link between Zion and Lonzo Ball throwing up anywhere near the ring, and Zion's going to catch it. That's going to be exciting to watch going forward, surely.
Yeah, I think that's got to be one of the most exciting partnerships in the league, and, you know, I think it has potential to be an all-time exciting partnership if they stay together as a team and they have a lot of great success. It's an attack in the open court that is really difficult to stop, because, you know, Lonzo, he's one thing, he's a brilliant passer, and we all know Zion is just a freak of nature when it comes to his athleticism. It seems like it's a match made in heaven. And I think what the initial concerns with Lonzo, again, like with Ingram, it's like, okay, well, Lonzo, even worse than Ingram, was ridiculed as a shooter before for his first 2 years in the league. I mean, he's been shooting around 40% from the free throw line, and from as a guard, that is like historically terrible. And, you know, everyone knew that his shot was kind of funky. He pulled it from his left side, brought it over to his right, and it was all kinds of a mess. And I don't think anyone would have anticipated Lonzo having not only the percentages that he has this year from three, but on the amount of attempts that he's taken. It means he's put in a lot of work. And I think there's a base there that, even if that's the baseline you get for the rest of Lonzo's career, that dramatically changes his ceiling and fit with Zion. Whereas previously, you know, if you're like, okay, like, if we can get him to 35% from three, then he's a workable player with Zion. Well, he's crushed that. He's way past 35. I think he's at 37, 38. And if you'd like take out like his, you know, first couple months or so, I think he's pushing 40%, which is exactly what you need with a player like Zion.
Well, opens it right up, doesn't it? I mean, the floor spreads it. It seems a whole heap bigger when you're playing against him if you've got a guy that can have that threat from outside. And, I mean, Zion's the sort of bloke that if you can give him a bit of space, he's going to torture. He absolutely, you give him the ball, he will go to work. And the strength from this guy that is 18 or 19 is unbelievable. I've never seen something like that where he can just rip the ball out of someone's hands and dunk it back in. He's an absolute freak of nature, and I hope that we can just capture that and have him for years to come, and he becomes this face of the franchise and a bit of a destination club down in New Orleans. Another guy that helps stretch the floor this year was Nicola Melli. So he came in from Italy, I think, and he looked like he stepped straight into it. He can hit the three, all right?
Yeah, Melli has been such a fun follow on Instagram and or Twitter because he cross posts his stuff. But what he's been doing is he's been documenting his time and his transition to the NBA from EuroLeague, and he's documenting what it's been like being a rookie, what it's like playing his first games. You know, like trash talk in the NBA, travel in the NBA, just snippets there. So it's really cool to get insight from a player, period, but he's been really articulate with it, and it's fun to watch his journey in the process. But yeah, he was another one of those players who at the beginning didn't see much play time, and I think that was a product of, again, Zion not being on the floor. Melly's going to have his maximum amount of success when a guy like Zion's in the paint drawing the defenders, drawing attention away, so Melly's open for a three. And it's no surprise that with Zion coming back, Melly's really stepped up his game and had an increased role with the Pelicans. And he's just a very smart player.
And that experience in EuroLeague playing professionally, we've seen it time and time again with a lot of European players come across. They're very good at, shooting as well as being in the right spots. And I think it's because they start playing basketball and professional basketball from such an early age. And that is an interesting sort of thing. I'll have to go back and have a look. I don't have him on Instagram, actually, so I'll have to go and have a look and watch that all back to see what it was like in the transition, because it's an interesting sort of thing to see. What are your key takeaways from this season? I mean, and what can we look forward to should either the season resume or we jump into next year? What are your, I suppose, takeaways and expectations?
So my key takeaways from this season are you have not one but two bona fide stars, and that is more than a lot of teams can say. And the fact that they're both under 22 or 22 and under is – bodes really well for the next 5, 7, 8 years if you do things right. So I think, you know, regardless of what happens this season, that discovery in and of itself is extremely valuable, and it's what's going to help shape the moves that you're going to make in the future. In addition to that, you know, you have other young guys like Lonzo who are pushing star potential, right? If he continues to improve at the rate he's been improving, then there's no reason he shouldn't be in that conversation as well. And then if you have, you know, I don't want to call it a homegrown big three, but it's about as homegrown as you can get, as you've had all these young players at such a young age, you can perhaps build something that's lasting. And to me, those are the most important things at the moment. And obviously there's a lot of other players on the team at the moment who are going to contribute now, and you know, some might still be there in the future. The Pelicans also have a ton of assets, especially that they netted from the Lakers trade. They still have a lot of draft picks that they can utilize to improve over the years. But you know, right now, discovering that Brandon Ingram is an all-star, which I'm not sure would have happened in this fashion if Zion was healthy the whole year, I think that was really important. Discovering that Zion like translates to the NBA day one, and he's dominating day one, but only scratching the surface of his ceiling, you know, like that's an important discovery. And then discovering that, you know, Lonzo's baseline as a shooter is just so much higher than anyone anticipated. Those three things, if you take that away from the season, I call this a roaring success.
you and me both, I was watching these guys, and, you know, coming into the season, you sort of, you've got, I suppose, a little bit of animosity. You're sitting there going, fear that this team might just go straight back down to the bottom. There wasn't really that much to go on, especially in Australia. You're watching it, I suppose, from a while away. We see what ESPN shows us, and that's about it. And then, I suppose, Twitter and the internet and the like, we've got all that. But again, until you're actually in and amongst it all and can see it all happening, we don't really get that expertise that you've provided us. Before we let you go, I was just wondering if you had anything going on over at the Bourbon Street Shots, anything you'd like to shout out. How's it all going?
Oh, no, it's going well. You know, we've been a little slow with our posting just with all the hiatus in all of sports. So, you know, we've been trying to post a podcast every once in a while. I think we'll be posting a couple episodes this week. I know a lot of us are working on we're working on a couple drafts of different things. I'm personally working on a fairly large project that's has taken a couple weeks to compile the data on. So whenever that's ready, I'm sure it'll be up at some point. But yeah, I mean, just I think the best point of contact is to check out our Twitters, which, you know, mine is at Fear the Brown, and you can check out the Bourbon Street Shots Twitter at Bourbon Street Shots. And that's the place where most of the news will be updated, and it's the place to be.
Yeah, and make sure you go and like all of those on Twitter and go and have a look at bourbonstreetshots.com. There's plenty going on there. I've been reading it for a little while now, and I'm a big fan of what you guys are doing over there. You're looking forward to those podcasts coming out as well. Schmidt Dewar, I would like to thank you for joining me on the Pelican Scoop. It's been an absolute pleasure, and hopefully we can get you on here again sometime.
Yeah, I just love talking about the Pelicans, especially now that there's nothing going on. This is a very welcome exercise, and I appreciate you guys having me.
Awesome. Thanks very much. We'll see you next time. So, guys, how good was that? We had Schmidt Dewar join us. Absolute legend and great to talk to, so thoroughly enjoyed getting his insights. Make sure you head over and support those guys over at the Bourbon Street Shots and In the Know podcast. It's always great fun. Guys, as always, make sure you give us a like, give us a subscribe, leave your feedback. We love hearing from you guys. And I am Lyle Swithenbank. This has been the Pelican Scoop at Hoopball Pels, at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. Make sure you follow us, and we'll see you next week. Thanks. Bye for now.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.